get ready.
Ready.
All right.
For your wake-up call.
Wake up!
He promises to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and the ugly truth. It's your life and business strategist, Steve Harris.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Ugly Truth About Business podcast. And I've got an amazing guest on the show today that I really can't wait to introduce to you. She is Nastasia Rose. How are you, Nastasia?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Super stoked to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, I love it. My cheeks are hurting already. We haven't even begun.
We haven't even begun, but it's just happening. It's just happening. So let me read your bio. Let me just introduce you to the audience. So Nastasia Rose is the founder and master coach at Vive, an alternative mental health practice for creators, entrepreneurs, and celebrities, founded in 2010. She's a really big deal, guys. She's a board certified professional coach and energy leadership master practitioner, running the vision of her practice since it came to her at 14 years old after her mother's mental illness diagnosis. I'm sorry to hear that. Holding near 20, ladies and gentlemen, 20 coaching I need to brush up on my certifications. I feel so small. Holding near 20 certifications, a Bachelor of Science in Addiction Counseling from Grand Canyon University, and with the end goal of her PhD, ladies and gentlemen, she's not just a pretty face or a lovely voice. She's got a PhD in view, a PhD in psychology from UCLA. Nastasia Rose aids her clients in igniting their vision while keeping their energy and mental health first. She helps creators and creative professionals scale to the 6 to 7 figure mark and beyond with a mix of energetics, psychology, and business strategy so their visions can succeed well enough to not only make it in the present, but to pass forward as they desire to generations to come. Ooh, you are intimidating, girl.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Like, I feel so small. Like, oh, wow. Jesus Christ. Come on.
You're okay. A big deal too. You're a big
ooh,
deal.
No. No. So, you know, I love the fact that you're consistently just pushing the boundaries of educating yourself. So maybe we should just start from there. You know, and I think there was this phrase that really got me before we even get to the success of your journey, was where you said this journey started for you after, you know, at 14, when your mom received her own mental health diagnosis. And I know that mental health is such a big deal. And even also, it is such a big buzzword today. Would you mind, if it's not too personal, sharing what happened and, you know, why did you decide to just take this journey on?
Yeah, so, and that's a beautiful question, and it took me so long to be able to talk about it, but now we can. So, you know, I'm really thrilled to be here, and my story is that I was surviving a lot of trauma from 4 to 14, and I just didn't know why. It didn't really make any sense. I even have traumatic stories from when I was just an infant, before I even was 4 years old, that was told to me. So, I didn't know why this was happening. Like, I would tell myself, you know, I'm a good person. I don't get it. I don't know how I'm attracting this. And these were the things I would tell myself. And once my mom was diagnosed bipolar, it just all made sense. It made the most perfect sense to me. She was obviously upset. I still remember when the psychiatrist diagnosed her and she was really upset and she was cursing in Spanish at the supermarket. Like, the first thing she wanted to do was go buy produce. I don't know why this was like the first thing in her head, but she wanted to go to the grocery store. that was her safe space.
Right.
Being a bunch of
retail therapy, just retail therapy.
Yeah, retail therapy with leafy greens. That was her thing. And she was like screaming in Spanish to her friend on the phone. And I just felt the hugest feeling of relief, because now I understood that I was attracting what I didn't want to attract because of what was happening at home. So right. I did the most, because I felt like I wasn't getting the answers I wanted from either of my parents. And I felt like I was extremely angry at the situation I was even in. So I said, you know what? I can't keep making mistakes feeling like I'm letting my parents down, and I can't keep feeling like I'm letting myself down. So I'm just going to go into a shelter and do their rites of passage program in Covenant House and get into my own apartment. And that's what I did from 14 to 16. And I started corporate really early. I got lucky working with an audiovisual company for a Rockefeller Center in New York. And that was one of my first real legit jobs. Like everything on the 64th floor in New York City, I worked with the audiovisual company that helped make that happen for all the celebs. Yeah. So, you know, that was my thing. And I started research for a few years since 14. 14, the second my mom's diagnosis came, that's when the vision of Vibe got in my head. And I did crazy psychological research all the way till my early 20s, made it up from that Rockefeller Plaza job to working for Fox television stations. And before I knew it, I couldn't keep up with trying to get the practice started while also keeping up with my day job, while also getting through school. So they fired me and I took out my 401k, started Vibe, and 12 years later, here we are.
Well, like here we are, ladies and gentlemen. but let me ask you this, because you know a lot of people would have gone through a tenth of what you went through from 14 to 16 and just lay down on the curb and just said, you know what, heck it, I'm done, and perhaps done something that would have been given irreparable damage. What do you think it was about you? Because you're a teenager, you're a little girl, 14 years old, but what do you think it was about you that, how did you channel that frustration, all the stuff that was going on at home and helping your mom and your siblings perhaps, how were you able to channel that and focus your energy without seeming any sort of distraction? That's really tough. How were you able to do that?
Yeah, no, thank you. And it was because of the things that I analyzed, which I'm glad you asked this question, because I feel like I completely overlooked what made Vibe a thing after my mom's diagnosis, right? Like I just mentioned it, how I saw the frustration, but what did I find in that research, right? So when I was doing those few years of research, I had noticed multiple things. Because the three most important people that were affected were me, my mother, and my father, right? So I saw the anger in me and the frustration from the trauma that I was attracting. I saw my mom and the anger that she felt because she was trying to come up as one of the best paralegals for CBS when Viacom was huge. So, you know, she really wanted to be great at law. If she wasn't doing law, she was studying the Bible and wanting to be a preacher. So like that was her thing. And she felt angry, obviously, because this diagnosis, she already knew, I'm sure, would get in her way. So I noticed that. And then I noticed my father, a filmmaker in Los Angeles, because they split up when I was young. And he made that jump over there so that he could succeed in film. And I noticed his frustration because it got to a point where they were fighting for custody over me because of what my mom was doing. And he won custody to just lose me anyway, because she would manipulate me to come back. So that's where I felt like I was letting him down too. So when I looked at all of this, I just said, none of this makes sense. None of this is right. Let me just go into a shelter and try to figure it out. And I was really passionate about figuring out how to succeed past our circumstances, regardless of whatever trauma we survived. So that was really what kept me focused. And the mistakes, I've made them. I really feel like only until recently have I finally figured out how to have a healthier relationship with alcohol, for example, right? Like everyone has their vices, you know? Right. And with me, I had done a lot of emotional drinking as a way to cope. And as Vibe started to kick off, and as even team members, because when you have a team, you have family, right? They were even, I had a conversation with my cinematographer. I'll never forget it. He said, you know, there's always a glass of wine in your hand. There's always something in your hand when we have a conversation. Do I need to be worried? And when he said that, I was like, wow, I need to end this now. So I have very strict rules for myself. I don't drink during enrollment periods. When I do drink, it's less than a handful of times a year. And I put myself in self-awareness of how bad it can go because of what I've witnessed in my biological family. So what kept me focused was witnessing all of this and saying, okay, if I'm really going to do this, if I'm really going to be what Vibe is exemplifying itself to be for people, I definitely have to be it as the founder, the CEO, and master coach of the practice. I have to really make sure that I'm doing what I need to do so that I can embody what we're teaching our clients. And as I've been practicing that, especially this year, it's been changing everything.
You know, I love it. I love it. You know, just listening to you, one of the things that I gather is someone who is self-aware to say that, you know, I'm not there yet. You know, someone who's, you know, because despite all your many qualifications and certifications and growth, you're still acknowledging that, look, I'm not there yet. Because a lot of people in our field somehow would, you know, with your level of competence would say, oh, no, I don't have no struggles. I ain't got no demons, you know, but you're owning them and you're saying, yes, I do. And there was a phrase you used that I really loved and resonated with was where you said, you know, succeeding against the circumstances despite the trauma. You know what I mean? I want to bring you back, if you don't mind, just a little bit more from the perspective of you talked about, you know, where good people seemingly attract trauma. Is that a thing? And why is that? And how do we work that out?
You are so great at question asking. I swear.
I told you this was going to be a great interview because we got something going on, girl. So yeah, absolutely. Hey,
yes, we have to see like how to collab or do something amazing after this interview.
I'm all for it.
I swear. Yeah, we totally have to figure that out. So I'm just, before I answer this question, I am so proud of you. I just have to get that out. Like, thank I'm you. Extremely proud of you. Yeah, so I'm excited to get to know you past this. But to answer your question, I do believe it's a thing, hence the acronym for VIVE actually standing for a vision to inspire the best version of energy. Ooh, so,
I love it.
Thank you. So what I truly believe is that as we take the obligation to be in the best energy possible within ourselves and within our environment and within what we keep around us to be great, great can happen. So right. That's really what I truly believe. So yeah, I believe it's a thing. And I believe the reason why we attract what we don't want to attract has a lot to deal with how we are as people. It always starts with us before we can even think about pointing at someone else. We have to think about the thoughts that are coming into our mind. What is our attitude? Are we being extremely negative? Are we complaining? Are we being boastful? Are we letting our ego get in the way? What is it that's really happening and how do we transform that? How do we transmute that into something for the greater good? And then also once you work within yourself, then you say, okay, what in my environment is not supporting my higher self now? Right. And what is it that I need to eliminate or keep at arm's length or further so that without judgment, I can really make sure that my mental peace is kept intact. And as we really go on this embarking journey to, you know, put in this work for this, we can see our life change. It starts with us and then it continues with the company we keep.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So let's go a little further in your journey. So, you know, you've left the shelter, please forgive the term. You've left the shelter, you've gone into corporate, you're doing well, you're climbing the ladder. And then you have that moment where you feel like I'm going to leave all this behind and pursue what has become, bless you, Gesundheit, bless you, to pursue, bless you,
thank you.
You're blessed twice over, right? Right. So you leave corporate and then decide, you know, you want to be able to pursue what has become VIVE. What was that aha moment that made you feel like, you know what, heck, and I'm done with all of this, and this is what I want to do for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, so it didn't really happen by choice. Like I would have loved to do it perfectly where I could have stood at Fox until I got my business to where I wanted it to go, my practice, and then, you know, I could have made the transition, but it just didn't work that way. I started to become really obsessed with the psychological study that was happening at Next Level on how to really make a difference in my clients' lives. And, you know, my first clients weren't like small situations. My very first client, I made sure that he didn't jump off of a building to commit suicide. And I was literally Whoa. There at the scene with him. Yeah. So like my stuff isn't, you know, tiny. So
no, heck
know,
no.
Yeah. So because of, you know, these types of experiences that I had with my clients, you know, working with celebrities to get them off of addictions like drugs, sex, and alcohol, you know, to be able to focus on their craft to thrive. And these weren't like tiny, tiny names. Like,
yeah, because you're literally saving people's lives. That's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So because, and I love that you said that because that's exactly what it feels like to me, you know, putting in the work where we're letting our higher power have us be the vessel to really do some good. So, because of that, that wasn't something that I took lightly. So I was very heavy in research and study since the very beginning because of that, because there's always, I was always obsessed with finding what whey can stick in ways that aren't really being taught yet. So right. I really got obsessed with it to the point where it was just taking up a lot of my time. And I was trying to have a social life as a woman in my early 20s in the city. And that just, I couldn't keep up between that two schools. I was in coaching school and at college, working at Fox, you know, starting this practice and trying to have a social life with people that also weren't a great fit, because the only time I ever had time was night, and at nighttime in the city that never sleeps, the only thing people want to do is drink. So, you know, it just, it got to the point where I was just showing up late too much for work. And I was like, you know, if, and I just, I remember the day I got fired, I looked up, I said, God, if this is the day, just, I surrender, screw it, let it happen. Right. And sure enough, I showed up and the box was there with, you know, to pack my stuff. And I wasn't like just any executive. I was working directly with the CEO, CCO.
Right. Top of the food chain. Yeah.
Yeah, very top. And they were getting ready to like scale me up however they wanted to scale me up. But I felt, and this was during a recession, because this was 2010, you know, so of course I was about to live any person's dream for security, but I felt like I had more to give than just sitting behind a desk serving other high-end people. Like I felt like where I was supposed to be was where they are, but in my area of industry. So I was just like, you know what? I gotta just surrender and let go. And I did, and I failed miserably in my first years, you know, of starting this thing. Like the first 3 years were the worst, and it depressed me. When I got to the point that I got in such a bad car accident, the car flipped 7 times. Yeah, the car flipped 7 times, a totaled vehicle, and you know, 9 stitches on my mouth, broken left collarbone. I was just like, I can't, maybe I'm not enough. And I stopped the company for 2 years. When I had my son, and when I survived congestive heart failure and I made it the next day when the doctor said I wasn't supposed to, that's when I was like, okay, maybe I'm alive for a reason. Let me dive back into this again. And 5 years straight, 2017, I made it a LLC. Now we're getting ready to make the practice incorporated, and we're in development of our nonprofit as well. So it's like, I gave up for a sec.
Yeah.
And then I got back into it, but this time I took it a bit more seriously. And now within the past year, I feel like there's been more shifts than ever within the past 5 years, really, of learning what it really takes. It was like I had a do-over, and still failing in the first years of that do-over. But I feel like I'm finally figuring out now how to walk my way in it.
I love. I want to ask you two questions. So the first that right off comes up to my mind is, why do you think that high performance individuals, celebrities, entertainers, you and I, why is it that we've got to seemingly struggle with something? We gotta struggle with something, you know, with drugs, sex, alcohol, you know, whatever the case may be. Why do you think we get strung out on a crutch? Or do you think, because some people will say, you know, if I don't get high, I mean, I don't get in the zone. You know what I mean? Some people, you know, whatever the case may be. But my point is, why must high performance individuals have that need for a substance that just gets them over the line? Or is it something that we can just do without?
Yeah, so it is possible, but it takes work. But the most common thing that I'm noticing lately is overwhelm. Like overwhelm is a thing, and it's very real. And it's very existent right now in the world today for a ton of reasons, right? If we're here to service people, we're not going to be ignorant to what's happening in the world in order to efficiently serve them, right? So world issues alone could stress us out, let alone the challenges we see our clients seeing. That can bring a lot of overwhelm, especially as a huge empath who wants to help people.
Yeah.
So you got to find, what's your body going to do? Automatically, it's going to figure out how to regulate the nervous system.
Right.
So, you know, that's when you really should do the inner work, because when it comes to how you regulate the nervous system, that's up to you. You know, you can keep a healthy relationship with alcohol. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend keeping a healthy relationship with drugs. If you're married, I would hope you have a decent relationship with sex. You know, it really depends on how you're determining healthy and what you're determining healthy with. So, you know, everyone's got their vices. I feel like it goes back to what the generational trends are. Like I had said, and I've been wanting to say for a really long time, and I feel like I'm being more open on this episode than anywhere else about it, which I love because I've been praying for it to come. Yeah, like I really have, you know, alcohol was always a huge thing in my family. And, you know, I feel like my, even my family members, I even feel like certain relatives are working on their relationship with alcohol now too, because I witnessed it when first seeing my mom. She was missing for 3 years, you know, bipolar symptoms and all. And when we had finally found her once, we all got together to see her. And I noticed, like, we were all trying to practice how we handled alcohol. And if any of us cracked, one was mad at the other. I was like, whoa, this is a whole different level of cool energy going on here, you know? But, you know, still, you know, we ended up not being able to really connect after that because of, you know, just the ability to hold good conversations with each other, because that's the next step, right? If you're not releasing to alcohol, how are you acting in your personality? But to answer your question, I feel that it happens because we were taught something growing up and we allowed that to take over. And because it impacted us so young, we just believed that's what it is. Right. So we spend our teens and 20s making all these mistakes. And then by the time we hit our 30s, something gives if we choose for it to. So where we're like, all right, we're going to finally figure this out. Like, I'm 34. So I
you look 21.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So, you know, I'm 34. So I feel like the stuff that I would have wanted to get right in my 20s, I'm just getting it right now. And what I love about our work is that you don't have to wait till your 30s to figure it out. It's just a matter of how soon you're willing to dive in. So I feel like it goes as back as generational trends that just shouldn't stick anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to put in the work to not have it stick and to replace it with healthier habits. It's what we've seen, what we've known, and we just choose to stick with that because it's comfortable. We don't like change. And as we choose to do things different, we can see a better life, but we have to be okay with the change that comes with it.
No, you're absolutely right. Because, you know, I was listening to you. I was just thinking about myself and I was like, one of my biggest vices, right, Nastasia, is just overworking. I don't know. I think that's my high. That's my mistress. That's my whatever. My wife isn't going to be happy about that. But I just feel like I have to, because, you know, my situation is a little bit different, you know, from yours, because, you know, I'm Nigerian, you know, I'm from Africa, moved to the States. Nine months now. Fully resident here now. Even though I'd come and go and travel and all whatnot. And I dropped out of school when I was younger, not once but twice. And subconsciously, I feel like I'm not good enough. You know what I mean? So despite all my accomplishments, it's like I feel like I'm overcompensating that. Listen, I'm gonna stick it to all y'all who thought that I wouldn't be anything. So I'm just constantly in that place where I'm working and working, because I was interviewed for, you know, once, and somebody asked me, you know, what drives you? And I said, if there was a multiverse and there was another, and I could meet the other version of Steve Harris, who actually matriculated, graduated, had all his, you know, ducks in a row. If I could meet that guy, I want that guy to look at me and wish he was me. You know what I mean? So I don't know what it is, but I think that's my poison. But, you know, so, you know, psychoanalyze me. What's wrong with me?
Well, you know, with what you've shared, there's multiple reasons why the overworking happens, right? Like, for example, I could be viewed as the same thing, but honest, because where I work is where I feel safe, like where I'm making a difference in other people's lives. But now I know that, you know, memories with my son matter, and, you know, organizing ways that I can create that is beauty. And that took time, right? So coming from someone who was once an extreme workaholic and now is putting in the work to create effective systems where I can have a life after now scaling to where we are today, multi-six-figure practice, scaling to seven figures with a team of 15, you know, and we're going to get bigger over time.
Awesome.
You know, thank you. It's, you know, what it really is where did it originate? Where is it? Why is it that you feel so safe in your work as opposed to where maybe your wife or your kids would want you to feel safe with them? Like, that's really something to dive into at a deeper level. And, you know, that is where you get your answers. It can, and also from what you had shared with me, right? Like, dropping out of school So feeling like you were never enough, the one question that you can ask yourself is, when have I already won? Like, when does it get to that point where I'm in gratitude for what I have in full, rather than always running for the next step? Sometimes I work with my clients on reaching a higher level. Sometimes I work with my clients with being grateful for where they are, because you're never going to feel like you're enough if you're not in gratitude for what you have. So that's really the area where you sit with yourself and you ask yourself, you know, am I still proving to those people who really shouldn't matter or rent space in my head, to where I know for a fact that I've already won. I have the verified check mark on Instagram, right?
Voila,
I have
the,
you know, over 100,000 followers. I'm serving people. This is Steve Harris, right? So, you know, that's when you really say, when have I already won? When will it be enough for me? And asking yourself what that looks like, so that you can give yourself permission to finally feel that you've won.
I love it. That helps. That really does help, actually. Seriously, that really does help. Okay, cool. I'll save that, replay this over again, and talk to you later.
Heck yes. Yeah.
So moving on a little bit, So you talked about that period where, you know, you started a business, you started Vibe 3 years in, it wasn't going according to plan. And then you took a hiatus for about 2 years. Now, that's something that most entrepreneurs don't even talk about. You know, the fact that you start something and it's not working, and you push and you push and you push. So I got two questions. At what point should you stop pushing and just say, you know what, heck it, you know what, this isn't working. I just need to step back a little bit. And how did you, during the 2 years hiatus, how did you not beat yourself over and over and over with, you know, the head with a stick, thinking that you weren't good enough?
So the biggest reason why I did the 2 year hiatus was because I knew that if Vibe was really going to be a thing, that I can't do it in a fake way. Like, if I don't believe that I'm capable of running it, it's not going to run. So I really felt at that time that I was just screwing up so much mentally, and I didn't have the proper guidance, the assistance and the resources that's out here today when it comes to thriving in our industry. We know freaking well that did not exist 10, 12 years ago. So, you know, hence why we love Kajabi, right? Like, because it's just the best, it's the best support. So, you know, it's it really came down to, I needed soul search and find out who I really am. And there's some empty pieces here that it's just not filling in. And I never even felt satisfied with the therapists that I would find or the psychologists that I would find, because I would try therapy, I would try psychology. And it was just like disappointment after disappointment. With Fox, you get the best network, but without, because then you can end up with a therapist that's just sitting collecting a paycheck, so he's not really paying attention to you. And that was the type of therapy I was experiencing in my network. And it was frustrating. The psychotherapist that I had found that I actually really made progress with, where, because I was very, you know, depressed, suicidal when I was going through abuse with my mom, I had cut my wrists, and a psychotherapist came to the house before the psychiatrist that diagnosed my mother. So if she was present and she was paying attention, we could have made progress with that psychotherapist, because I really connected with that woman. So she took me out for a walk that I'll never forget, because we were at Silver Lake Park in Staten Island. And I was like, wow, like, I actually feel good. Like, this could be a thing, you know, and this was at 14. So, you know, I really feel that as we choose to be present, we can get our answers. And that was why I did my hiatus, because if I feel like I'm not enough, I need to get present with something. So the 2 years that I was away, I completely quit my own job, right? Like, I completely quit Vibe, and I just really went on this 2 year embarking journey to see what I see in my family members, to see what I see and where, you know, Earth was taking me. And I went to North Carolina, where, you know, my abuela and my tías were consistently telling me to go. And I was like, all right, I'll give in, I'll try it out. I was looking around and I was like, there's nothing here. Like, I'm not getting my answers. Right. You know, like, there's nothing here. Like, there's their situations that they're dealing with life, and I have my situations, and I'm not feeling like I can grow here, even being near one of the best universities where I could study. So I left North Carolina, and then I always was curious about Jersey. So right. I ended up in Jersey. I'm from New York. So I ended up in Jersey. And right when I was going to leave, my son's father wanted to go on a date, and I never left because he's the one I could see my son with. So, you know, that's just how it ended up, you know, and then we ended up together, engaged, you know, 8 years goes down the line. And
awesome.
You know, with everything that I had survived, I really saw that, you know, I felt like the reason why I felt so off and like I wasn't enough, now that I really think back at it, because I never really thought on like, okay, so what was the result of the hiatus, right? So right. I didn't beat myself up because I knew that I was feeling empty and I needed to figure out who I really am. And I think why I was feeling so much back then was because I wasn't practicing being present. So as I was practicing being present, I was getting my answers. And I didn't believe in myself enough because I let what I survived with my mom dictate who I am.
Right.
And I allowed my mistakes to also dictate who I am. And I was also in such a huge area of anger to the point where the anger consumed me. And that is just not a healthy place to be in at all. And anyone who knows my Facebook posts from back in the day when I would post my whole life in an angry fashion knows that I was living like that. And that was part of the reason why people would stay away from me back then. So I feel like now that I've actually utilized the resources and I'm in a season in my life right now where I feel like I'm getting a do-over at life, not even just in business. Like I worked the past 5 years to get my practice to where it's at. Now I feel like I'm getting a do-over in life as a woman, and I'm in life and the personal level, the same situation as back 12 years ago where I was starting over and, you know, in certain areas. And what's changing at this time is obviously what I've studied in my practice, but knowing that I'm enough and testing my theories. What if I am capable of being better energy? What if I am capable of creating more with better energy around me and holding myself to my highest on those boundaries? And as I'm doing that, it's creating better results. And I think that's why my soul didn't give myself permission to beat myself up on those 2 years, because I feel like my soul felt seen when I look back at that, where I was like, okay, I needed to figure myself out. And I gave myself the space to do that because I'm in my 20s at that time. I can. And I regret nothing because it brought me my son. And it's not like I did it super young. I was 27 when I had him, and it was the most beautiful discovery I could have ever come to. I didn't feel complete because he was meant to exist, and now he does.
That is so beautiful. What's his name, if you don't mind my asking?
Isaiah.
Lovely name. Lovely name. I'm sure he's making you proud every single day.
Yes, he's doing great. He's in his academy right now as we speak.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he has his academy. He's a great kid, full of life. I absolutely love him. He's loved by so many. And I'm so proud of that boy. So proud.
He's lucky to have you. So, hey, he's going to turn out right. He's going to turn out right.
Thank you.
So let's fast forward a little bit before we call it a day. 20 certifications, Nat. 20. Why? Like, really, why? But then master's, then a PhD. Like, why? What's going on?
I know, the obsession of the studies, right? And then also I got into that hole because of having the same issue as you, feeling like I wasn't enough. And, you know, whenever I was terrified of my practice not making it, I would interview with other companies, and there was always some sort of certification that I didn't have that they needed to, that they needed me to have. I paid $3,000 for NASM and I still haven't finished those 6 certifications with the Elite Bundle. You know what I mean? Like, one day it's going to happen, just not today. You know, I was obsessed with getting into certification work because I wanted to be able to walk in a room feeling like I was enough. And because I wanted to know all the ins and outs and the trends. But then it got to a point where it just felt like the trends are never going to stop. There's always going to be something.
Something
like,
new.
Yeah, like something new. Like right now, human design is huge and it's like becoming a big thing. And I believe in human design. Mm-hmm. Am I going to finish getting that certification though? I don't know. You know, it's just, it's not the thing. And I came to the conclusion where I could put a halt on this certification ladder and really say, where am I meant to specialize in? Right? Like, where is my specialty? Like, I'm not supposed to be a jack of all trades. I'm really not. And I think I was just really working hard trying to be. So I really had to sit back and put certain studies on hold and just say, Naz, what do you want to do? Where do you believe that you're meant to serve? And I was like, mental health and music, right? So if I'm ever going to get to the music, some studies got to go, you know? Right. So it just really got to that point where I was like, all right, I've studied enough. Let me just take a halt. I'm also about to finish I'm in my final class and then I'm finally done with my Bachelor of Science in Addictions Counseling. So let me just.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, let me just freeze everything. I know for a fact that I want to go for my PhD in clinical psych because that's just going to take so many things to next level and vibe. Like we want to mix the modalities with coaching, therapy, and psychology when it comes to the internal aspects of how we work with our clients. So that's really going to give us a lot of leeway. But while I'm taking this halt, you know, let's not run for all the trends that people feel like they're going to hire you for because you have it. Like, no, what is the real important part that you're supposed to be consistent with and help them on? And for us, it's business strategy and psychology. Those are the two things that we utilize alongside energetics to really get them to ignite their vision while keeping their energy and mental health first. And that's where we should specialize in. They're not going to care to know what their human design chart is, some of them. No, like, they're really not. They want to make money. And they want to make a lot of it, and they want to do it while making sure they don't lose their minds. That's why they work with us.
True. I mean, I love just the way you said that because, you know, a lot of us sometimes just go into that whole, you know, rabbit hole of a wandering generality. We're just constantly, you know, I said something on Kajabi the other day, and I said that many times we pick up certifications or qualifications because we're looking for validation. We're saying to ourselves that I'm not good enough. So if I pile this and stack this and put this and do this, people would accept me more as an expert. When you're supposed to find the question and ask, where is my expertise? And just focus on that and just totally zero out, you know, on the things that really don't matter. You talked about money, and that's a really big thing. And one of the things that you do with Vive is you help people get into that 6 and 7, you know, a digit barrier and break it. What stops someone, Naz, from just getting 6 figures consistently or getting into that 7-figure or maybe even 8-figure bracket consistently? What, you know, what kind of mindsets must they have, and why is it that most people just can't do it?
We block ourselves. So we let ourselves get blocked of our own blessings, unfortunately. And I wish that I had a less intense answer, but it's the truth. And even if we looked at our own practices and how we ran our own things, and we were to really look back and say, how did these plateaus happen? We'll probably be able to find either a person within our team who was holding us back that we had to eliminate, or we're going to also witness how we operated as a person that led the pack. And usually it starts with us. Our mind is so extremely powerful. It's insane. And we don't take that seriously. And we need to. When we really say or think anything, it becomes real so quick because of how quick universe hears you. So you've got to be extremely cautious on what you're thinking in your mind and the words that are coming out of your mouth, because whatever you say or think, and especially if you're thinking of it heavily, it's going to happen. The way that we have these clarity calls, for example, that are being booked for people who want to work with us, I kept saying to our ads manager repetitively, I wish you were here when I had hundreds of leads coming in who wanted to work with me when I had my brick and mortar in 2019. Joelle seriously told me, be careful what you wish for, and sent me a wink emoji, because now we're like flooding with it. And now we're just running with the momentum to sustain, where now we're getting 40 to 50 clarity calls booked a week, and it's not stopping. Whoa. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with now. And I'm so grateful and I'm excited, but I said it. I consistently thought it like with a passion. And it's
right.
the passion too that like, it's almost like that's the final part of the spell, you know, that like really kicks it off.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just now the next level is how do you sustain? And it's like a sport. You can't crack. You have to make sure that once you have that opportunity, you don't freaking let it go. And you just simply work on a way to strategize it well enough where you're working smart versus working hard so that you can keep scaling because you already know what it's like to not have any of it. And now that you're scaling up, that's your opportunity to create systems for yourself where you're keeping your energy and mental health first and you're not losing your mind while you're getting to where you want to be. But you have to stay consistent. Consistency is key. Days are going to come that you're going to feel like crap. Other days are going to come that you're going to feel amazing. No matter what, you're consistent. That stays.
Yeah, because, you know, you're absolutely right, because a lot of people in this paper chase, call it that, would either get the paper and lose their mind or, you know, get their mind and ditch the paper. But it's that balance of knowing what you're trying to do and just be consistent. And, you know, you talked about energy and just, you know, that whole energetics, that passion that comes into that singular obsession of what it is you're trying to achieve and going all out. What's the level of balance, you know, to make sure that you can achieve it. You know, I love it. It's something that a lot of people think is cliche. You know, where you say that, oh, well, you know, you just have to want it more. You have to attract it. Like, yeah. I've watched The Secret. It still doesn't work. You know what I
mean? Yeah, you can't just sit and think about it. It's the aligned action that goes with it, right? So, for example, now that we have all these calls, what's next? How do we create the systems to sustain? That requires me actually taking action. I'm not going to be sitting on my couch saying, oh, I want to manifest the perfect closer. No, I need to set up the systems for the proper efficient revenue to come in so that we can afford those closers, so that we can afford those extra coaches, so that I'm not the only one doing everything with this huge traffic load. So that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. So it's strategic action alongside with your thinking and what you want to put into reality. And you freaking pray when it gets to the point.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, when it gets to the point that you only know as much as you know, that's when you surrender and you say, show me the way. Whoever you want to believe, God, higher power, universe, nature, a higher being bigger than yourself. You just say, show me the way and let the signs come. You've done all the action you can do so that you don't mess up your body. And then those signs come in and then you handle the next problem and you treat it singular. Like you said, one problem at a time. What problem do we have today? Let's solve that. Okay. What problem do we have today? Let's solve that. And you just take it one day at a time so you can also practice breathing and living your life.
Yeah. Living your life. Naz, I got final question for you. What's the ugly truth about business that no one ever told you? Like, you know, when you signed up for this whole business thing, you didn't read the fine print and you're like, Jesus Christ, it's there. What's the ugly truth about business that no one ever told you?
The ugly truth. I feel like there's so much, but if I was to narrow it down to one, oh man, it can't be only one. I'm gonna pick the top couple. You gotta test your theories and then stay true to your guns. So we'll keep it there. So like, for example, like you said, I have all these studies and all these studious accomplishments and things that I've accomplished to date, but yet I'm not letting my nose stay stuck in the air, right? Why? Because I've witnessed what it's like when I make those mistakes. We were coming up in numbers last year and I thought that we were, you know, freaking bionic, and life woke me up and said, just kidding. You have team development, you know, like your team development structuring is nowhere near done, Naz. You need to really like figure this out. Like, you know, there were so many different lessons that still came with it in order to sustain that scaling. And now by the end of this year, the cleanup that I know that we need to do is going to be cleaned up. But before I let my anger and my ego kick in the way from where I thought we needed cleanup, I tested the theories first. So, you know, I think that's why I stay humble. Before I even think about being tempted, about acting like I know everything, I want to test my theories first and see if I'm true. Let's get into action and see what's going to happen here with my theory. And if my theory is correct, I have the evidence now to prove it. And if my theory wasn't correct, I stand corrected, right? So, you know, and sometimes it's a mix of both. Test your theories before you run with it with your ego. You gotta stay humble. And that's the truth that no one taught to me. You can't fake confidence like that.
No, you can't. And Naz, you have been amazing. You are humble. You are confident. You are no doubt the upper echelon, the elite in our field. And it was such an incredible honor having you as my guest on The Ugly Truth About Business.
It was such an honor to talk about the ugly truth of business. It's such a great topic for a show. I'm so glad that I finally was on it. Thank you.
No, you're amazing. You're definitely worth the wait. So yeah, I'm glad we can make it happen.
Such an honor. Yeah, I waited 3 years.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, see, we got a waiting list. You see, we got a waiting list, man.
You didn't even know you had a waiting list until me. Yeah, it was here. But I'm very big on, I energetically attract the right time when I can evolve. And to be even more truthful, to do a bonus point before we bring it to a close. Sure. One of the reasons why I didn't run in was because I knew that I still had growth to do, right? So when I had first seen you, I was just getting started in, you know, in taking things to next level with how we serve our clients. So I wanted to get my feet wet. I wanted to have some real value to say and be that value. You can't fake value either. There's so many things that you cannot fake in business, and you got to really care in the work to be that value. So I felt like universe manifested itself, and now we're here at a great level in life.
And you were valuable every step of the way. Value all the way. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
We should do an encore.
We have to do an encore. It's done. It's written. It's done.
Awesome. Super stoked.
Thank you for listening to the Ugly Truth About Business podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please take a moment to subscribe, share it with a friend, and most importantly, leave a review and let people know that this is the podcast that they should be listening to on the internet. Thank you.